In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The spirit of the Christmas season is espoused by Hallmark movies, TV shows, and the like, which emphasize that it's important to give to others. There is much that is commendable in this notion, especially if you like Christmas presents, but it goes against our nature. Anyone who spends time with a few young children knows this. After all, when left to themselves, might makes right. Do you want that toy? Then go out and get it. Or try to keep it away from your friend, right? Sometimes it's not so much strength as much as it is tenacity or strength of character that manages to keep that toy in the child's hand. It's the outside input of others, whether it be older siblings or perhaps parents, that introduces the concept of sharing, that looks beyond our own internal Darwinianism, survival of the fittest. Strength is highly admired in our society, isn't it? Those of you who do a little Beachbody or follow Shanti know about this, but it's not only the matter of a strong body, but strength of character. This is why certain leaders within our society are lauded and praised, more so for their accomplishments than for their caritas, their charity, their love moving in action. When it is lauded, it's more of an afterthought after they've become great men and women. How strange, then, that you're here tonight. It's almost foolish. For tonight, you've come to celebrate weakness. Tonight, we rejoice that the infinite becomes finite. That the one who is bigger and stronger than all things ever throughout the entirety of the creation becomes a tiny, helpless baby. That the Almighty becomes weak. That is precisely why we are here. The Son of God, incarnate by the Holy Spirit, resides as a brephos, an infant, in Mary's womb as foretold by Isaiah. He's ordered all things mightily so that his parents, Mary his mother, Joseph his adopted father, are in Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophecy spoken by Micah. The angels sang their songs. The shepherds have come to worship the one who has come to save his people from their sins, and not only his people, but really all people. Our wonderful counselor, Almighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, has been born. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So that finally the promised seed of woman is here to crush the serpent's head. Glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. He's come to establish his government and bring peace. But look at him. He's not the politician, is he? Building a strong base of support for an election, or the dictator establishing his power by a series of coups or power grabs. He works contrary to our nature, establishing his government through weakness. How does he establish that government? He's enthroned upon a cross, buried in a tomb. 3 days later, coming forth, proclaiming, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And peace? He takes on finite, weak flesh. Not simply so that he can be one of us, so that he can identify with us. He's born in the flesh to fulfill the law, which in our weakness, we failed to keep. All those times we've used our power to lord it over our neighbor instead of loving them. All the times we've used our strength to hurt and harm our neighbor instead of providing for him in every physical need. All of those times that our self-control has failed us and we've been weak. And then he goes one step further. For he puts aside his power to become weak enough to suffer our punishment and die our death. And his power is made perfect in weakness. Through his death, through his resurrection, he establishes a kingdom that lasts forever, and you are made inheritors of this kingdom, citizens of the eternal kingdom, through such odd, weak means, right? In that font over there, water and words spoken over you, words that seem so insubstantial, yet words of our Lord which are powerful, which kill and make alive, which bear fruit, which never return to him void. And then there's that matter of peace. The angels proclaim it at the birth of Christ. The shepherds go and see that peace laid away in a manger. That peace, Christ Jesus, who goes on to suffer and die, so that God's wrath is atoned for. So that we have peace in heaven, glory to God in the highest, for our sins have been forgiven. Now the peace beyond all understanding comes again to us this night in weakness under bread and wine. And we wait for his appearing. We wait with great expectation, knowing that some of us, because of this weak flesh, may sleep before he returns. But God willing, all of us on that day will wake from the sleep of death or see him when he comes in glory, proclaiming an eternal peace for us. So that's what's revealed tonight in this manger. That's what Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds saw and began to proclaim. That's what Mary treasured up in her heart. And that's why, even in our weakness this night, even in our broken hearts, we can treasure that God chose weakness. God chose us. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.